Thank you so much, Pastor Andrew. As always, it's a pleasure to be here with you online, whether you're joining us today live or you're watching this later on or you're here in the sanctuary with us. It's a pleasure to have you guys here with us. Over the years, I've found in my life that there's times when God has completely transformed my thinking, my belief system, and he's really set me free on some items. And so I wanted to reflect and share some of those ideas with you because I feel like it's so important as we talk about getting saved and baptized and filled with the Spirit, that throughout that journey, there's also some times when you just become completely free. And you talk about your own personal life, your own journey. You feel like you're reading somebody else's testimony because you're so far removed from the old you, in a sense. So there's a wonderful piece of scripture in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, God is trying to explain and teach some things about himself, some characteristics about Jesus Christ and the authority that God has over the world. And so we see in chapter 8, you know, if you're going to do your devotion sometime this week, just read through the whole story. But in verses 1 to 7, we see, or 1 to 17, sorry, we see very clearly that God, he restores people's bodies and he heals people's diseases, really ones that are incurable. He just sets them free. We would see a little bit later in verses 23 and 27 that he has ultimate authority over even the wind and the waves. He has complete control over things that really are out of our control. And then even we finish up the story that we're going to be spending some time on this morning or today is verses 28 to 34. We see some demons here and how God handles them. He has complete control over diseases, over the wind and the waves, and over demons. He has control over everything. So this chapter is trying to speak about that. So we pick up the story in verse 28 of Matthew 8. It says, when he arrived on the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted, have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them was a large herd of pigs was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. He said to them, go. So they went out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, oh, I wish they would say something different, but it says this, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Leave us alone, God. Leave us alone, Jesus. So we're going to dissect those verses there that we just read through, but I want to just pave a little bit of a foundation here. Again, that Jesus has complete authority. But when Jesus does miraculous things, sometimes humanity, sometimes you and I, we see it in a way that becomes a negative, and we want Jesus to leave. God, leave us alone, leave these areas alone, because the devil is tricking us. He's confusing us on what the miraculous things God does, because the devil doesn't want us to focus on what God is doing. He wants to see all the destruction that sometimes it causes. These two people were physically alive. They were walking around, but though they were spiritually dead, weren't they? They were so dead that they were outcasts. They lived in some, you know, foreign place, in a sense, outside of town. So let me just share another piece of scripture that will kind of shed some light on what was taking place here. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I think we've all lived there at certain points in our lives. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We had followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We had followed the enemy's ways. I remember when I was a young person, I thought I was maybe Satan's son or something. I was just so bad. I was so full of evil, and I just wanted to be free of that, and I just didn't know how to be free. You know, we used to follow those ways and be completely disobedient to God because we thought God was going to maybe try and steal our joy and our pleasure and make us do things we didn't want to do. But God wants us to be free from that kind of thinking. He wants us to be free in Jesus' name. He wants us to live in a way so that we don't just kind of stumble along the way. He wants to light the path so we can walk in a straight way, a wonderful way. He wants to just bless us. So if we're in Ephesians chapter 2, let's just go back to chapter 1 for a second and verse 21. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, not only in the age when this was written, but also in the one to come that you and I live in. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I just love, I'm always talking about all and every, complete power and authority over every situation. There's no situation that you and I can face if we're full of the Holy Spirit that would have authority or power over us. We are the head. We have complete authority over every situation. And I want to just pause for a moment and really speak that into your life. If there's anything that's kind of like an addiction or anything that is kind of holding you back or anything you're struggling with and you can't seem to be set free, when we read scriptures like this and we're about to read, or we even read the story about the people that were filled with demons, Jesus just showed up and they were so terrified. They said, please send us over here. They weren't questioning Jesus' authority. They knew they were in trouble. They knew that God had complete authority. So in the same way, when Jesus enters into our lives, into your moment, into your house right now, as you listen to this, he's got complete authority over whatever sickness you might have, over any worry or anxiety you might have. Jesus has complete control and authority and power over that. So I pray you'd be set free in Jesus' name. I pray you would just receive that in Jesus' name, that you'd be free in Jesus' name. Every part of you would be free. You wouldn't struggle anymore. The desires that are inside of you for the ways of the world would be gone in Jesus' name. And you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in a way and not stumble any longer. Oh, I pray that you would receive that. So when we think about the demons that were around at that time, so when we think about our lives, sometimes there's things that are causing us to stumble. So what was happening prior to when Jesus showed up on the scene? I think that's always important to look at. What were they doing prior to when Jesus arrived? And then we'll look at what happened after when Jesus arrived, the difference we see. So we observe prior to Jesus' arrival again. We see that these demons had these two individuals walking around in the tombs, you know, at the graveyard. In a sense, the devil thought, I have complete authority over these two individuals, and we will live in a place where the devil or, you know, the angel or the demons, you know, in a sense, they think that they have complete triumph, or this is their trophy. When we look at gravestones, they think, you know, I got that person to not follow Jesus. I got this person to not follow Jesus. So in a sense, it's their like trophy room. This is where they're living with these dead bodies of men, where they think they have triumph again over that. And again, you could see here where it says that people were not able to even pass by that area because these people were so crazy. They were so strong in a sense. So the devil barrels cruelty upon each other, upon mankind. So these two individuals were obviously, you know, men. And when men tried to come their way, they were able to have authority and power over them. They were able to, you know, push them off. So the devil, again, thinks that he's got control over these two. You know, when Satan rules in a person, it really wages war with pride and envy and malice and revenge and hatred. All these kind of things really makes people unfit for humanity when we live those kind of ways. You see, it's just like they couldn't even live in town, right? The people just removed them from town. So you got to go live over there. So prior to Jesus showing up on the scene, these people were just completely out of control. And it seemed like no one could even control them until we see Jesus show up. So let's, again, start to dissect the scriptures here. So we'll jump in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 8. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? So for Jesus to cast the demons out and to tie them up from doing their mischief really was torment for them. Because the demons were going around tormenting these people, so they thought they were winning. They thought, this is what we've come to do, to torment people. And they said, whoa, we don't want to lose that ability, because if Jesus just casts them into, in a sense, the lake of fire or into the end, just said, we're going to chain you up until judgment day, then they couldn't do any more damage. They couldn't affect humanity anymore. So that would have been tormenting to them. So they said, don't torment us until the appointed time. Let us have free reign to mess around. Let us confuse humanity. Because the demons were comfortable in their destruction. That's where they play. You know, we want to be godly. We want to bring light. We want to bring, freedom. We want to bring restoration. And the enemy is doing the opposite. He wants to bring destruction. He wants to kill off humanity. And he wants to do things that are wicked and nasty. So we see the difference here. The devil knows that there will be a time when they will be more tormented than they currently are. And they know it. Isn't that terrible? The devil knows the scripture so well. He knows that there will be a day when they will be cast in a lake of fire where they'll be tormented forever. And there's no freedom for them. I can't imagine knowing that. Can you imagine knowing that you're going to completely screw it up and that there's no hope for you and there's no turning back and there's no way to get out of that? That is torture. That is terrible. And that's what the demons know. They know that day will come one day. They know they have no power and authority, and they want to try and bring as many people along with them as they can. Let me explain that to you a little bit more. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it says, then he will say to those on his left, you know, when God separates the goats and the sheep, he will say to those that don't know him, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't ever forget that the lake of fire, hell, Hades, however you want to pronounce it, was designed for the devil and the fallen angels, not for humanity. But humanity, every single day that, you know, the clock is ticking, people keep choosing to go there when there's a better place for them. Isn't that terrible news? But it is reality that people don't want to choose God. They don't want to choose a better way. They don't want to be freed from the stuff that they're going through. They choose the terrible way, almost like these people in this community chose to send Jesus away. Jesus, get out of our lives. We don't want you around us. But God wants us to be free. He wants to set us free. Because even these demon-possessed people, they didn't come and ask Jesus to set them free. God just set them free. God has the power and authority to set people free. And I'm praying that somebody, in a sense, was probably praying for these two people back in the day to be free. And for you and I to do the same thing, that Jesus would show up in somebody's life and completely set them free. Isn't that great news that we've got that kind of authority? Okay, so that was all prior to when Jesus showed up. So what happens now that Jesus is on the scene? What can we start seeing here in verse 30 and 31? It says, some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, can you drive us out? Send us into that herd of pigs over there. And so we can see here, I want to show you something in Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 10. So we think about the enemy wanting to cause destruction, and, you know, he doesn't want to just be sent into eternal torment. He wants to still be around the earth and torment and mess with people. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. If you follow the Lord, these kind of things will happen to you. Hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Don't travel on it, for they cannot sleep till they do evil. For those that are following the ways of the enemy, they can't find sleep and rest. They're robbed of their slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. And don't you know that what makes them stumble? So we see so clearly here, we have the greatest instruction on how to walk in a way that is lit up, That's just the beautiful. You wake up in the morning, the first sun of the day, which we're waiting for still. But when that day comes, it's just majestic. It's beautiful. Or there's the other way that's dark and dingy, and you're going to stumble along the way, and it's going to make yourself fall and others fall along with you. That's where we don't want to be. They asked to go somewhere other than, again, the place of complete destruction and torment. The demons didn't want to go there, because they want to continue to bring death and destruction on the earth. If they couldn't make humans suffer, if they were going to be removed from humans, they said, let's go into what humans value. Let's go into their goods and let's destroy those goods. By doing so, the people would completely miss the fact that Jesus was on their doorstep. They would just realize, look, all of our stuff is getting wrecked here. Jesus brings destruction. This is the greatest confusion and trick the enemy brings on us and brings on humanity. As God's done something miraculous to these two individuals, we've got our eyes on stuff. We've got our eyes on materialism. And we completely miss the great work that God had done there, setting these two individuals free. Christ gave them permission to go into the pigs. We're going to read in verse 32. He said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. You see here how the enemy works. You know, he wasn't able to get these two people that the demons were possessing to actually physically kill themselves. I think they caused more torment and destruction just with other people. But when they went into the pigs, they instantly did what they've always wanted to do, was kill. They wanted to destroy. So as soon as they hit the pigs, bang, they went down and they were destroyed and they killed them. The enemy doesn't waste time. He's not messing around. He's not kind of like, well, we'll just see what happens, you know, in the long run. He is constantly pushing his agenda to take people out, to push people down. And the greatest thing is that, you know, we've got the antidote to that. We've got the answer to that. When people are getting pushed down and they feel like they're not going to make it, there's the answer right here. Isn't that great news? When I struggle every spring right now until God heals me, that when those trees, they start blossoming and blooming or whatever they do, and you get all that, you know, yellow on your vehicle, that goes in my nose, and then my nose becomes a faucet. It's out of control. I just can't even, you know, my allergies get so crazy. And there's some days when I'll kind of bear down, so I can't even take this anymore, so I'll take like a Claritin or something just to make it through the day. But do you know what? It's the same way for you and I. The enemy's out there. He's trying to get you. He's trying to take you out. We've got an antidote, and are you going to take it? You need it every day, though. Because without it every day, you're going to be struggling. And you need this every single day. The clock is ticking on the enemy, and he knows that. And so he roars around, we read about. He doesn't waste time. He's doing everything he can to trip us up, and especially Christianity, especially the church. So we need to be ready. How do we combat that kind of a threat? Well, we would find it in the Word of God. I want you to think about this for a second. So often we have the whole Bible and we're thinking, okay, we got lots to learn, we've got lots to chew on, lots to think about. But there are places in the world where they don't have that luxury. This thing's actually outcast. You can't even own one of these things. But people will smuggle in, they'll take one page out and they'll smuggle it in to wherever they are illegally. They might even lose their life for doing that. But they believe that the one page could change history. They believe that the one page could change the direction of someone's life. What page would you choose? Man, it's just so rich in there. I got a couple of favorite pages I could think of choosing. But just the idea that just to be able to read Scripture could change the environment. I hope we see it that way. I hope when you open it, you realize that. You say, oh God, I'm just going to allow you to speak to me. I'm going to allow you to just change my inner being. I have nothing without you. I'm so desperately hungry this morning. I had breakfast. My stomach is happy. But I need spiritual food this morning. I need some meat. And oh, just fill me with it. And you might read it and go, I don't even really understand what I just read. But something is happening in the spiritual realm that you can't even see or understand. And sometimes, don't ever give it up. You've got it right in front of you. It's a gift. Somebody has paid the price so that you and I can have this thing. Don't just shake it off. Pour yourself into it. Allow it to minister to you in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. We can preach this all day long. You know, get saved, get baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you go off and do whatever you want. But turn to this thing for crying out loud. It will change the whole environment. It will change your mindset. It will change your heart. It will change your desires if you open it up and you allow it to speak to you. We know again that the devil, the demons, they're not wasting time. So they go off and they kill the pigs. We would see here in Mark chapter 5, verse 13, we would see the story in Matthew, would see it in Mark here. So let's just read a little bit of it in verse 13. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Again, the devil hurries to kill them all off. He hurries to get them to kill themselves. And we read in Ephesians chapter 2, I just want to just shed some more light on that just for 1 second. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. When you follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. These people were obviously filled with disobedience, and when they went into the pigs, they instantly killed off just a horrendous amount of them. 2,000, isn't that just crazy to think about? By doing so, many foolish acts in direct contradiction, not only to the word of God, but also to right reasoning and right thinking. When you and I look at scripture like that, we say, well, we don't want to follow the kingdom of the air. We don't want to be disobedient to God. So we think that we don't need to follow God's word. We'll do it. You know, I think that's a good thought that we'll have, and we'll do it. But God is saying constantly that so often we make mistakes along the way because we think it's the right thing to do. And God isn't calling us to do that. And it's just a mental thought. And God is wanting to correct that in us. That sometimes we do things that we think is right, but then later on we realize that was terrible, but it seemed right in our minds. The only way that we should be led and guided is by God's word. And it might not seem right to people, but it's going to be right to God. I love this imagery if you think about the pigs again. You got 2,000 of these honking pigs around snorting, making a big old mess over there. And all of a sudden they race down the hill like with speed and into the lake. And again, that's like the enemy, isn't he? It's just as soon as the enemy gets in your mind and in your thoughts, the first thing you start feeling is like it's not good. And the enemy is going to just constantly keep leading you to negative thinking and negative thoughts. And it's the same kind of idea when we rush into the lake. Well, I mean, it's the same kind of imagery, the lake of fire. The enemy is just like, we just want to fill up, you know, he wants to fill up his arena. So let's fill up the lake of fire. Let's fill up hell. Let's fill up Hades with people. And God is like, that's the furthest thing from God's mind. He doesn't want us to do that. But so often we give in to that. And we're allowing the graveyards to fill up instead of fighting back and allowing people to fill heaven up. Because God's given us a free choice. And that, at the end of the day, that's a choice that we're going to have to make. Let me just expand on that. Let me just resonate there for just 1 second. So if we're talking about the idea of, you know, okay, I'm going to sacrifice for the Lord. I'm going to, you know, do these things in expectation that I'm going to get to go to heaven. See, it's the same reasoning that we have when we think about, if I was to get a doctorate degree, you know, I'm going to sacrifice 10 years. Or even a lawyer, okay? So I know lawyers. Okay, so 7 years. So you're going to sacrifice time, probably sacrifice time with your family, sacrifice money. It's going to cost you a lot of money, cost you a lot of energy. And you do that in expectation that after the 7 years, you believe that you'll be better off. You might get a better position. You might get a higher pay. You might get looked upon because you've got letters after your last name. That's the blessing that God has given humanity. We're the only person on the planet that has that ability. Animals don't have that ability. They can't reason and think and plan and hope for the future. Only humanity has that. So God has given us that gift. Resonate with that for a second. So you believe that if you do something today, it can affect tomorrow. You and I as Christians, we believe the word of God. We sacrifice our talents, sometimes our finances, sometimes things that we actually might want to do, but we want to be a blessing to someone else. We do all of that because we expect that we'll be compensated or rewarded, or there'll be something different for us if we make a decision today. Isn't that just a wonderful thought that God has given us, the ability to be even to be able to reason and think like that? So when we think, I want to be free from something, I don't want this addiction anymore, I don't want to be stumbling like this anymore, well, then what are you going to do about it? Because God has given us the ability to think about, I don't want this anymore, but then something has to change today for there to be change tomorrow. That's just reasoning. It's just like, scripturally, that's the way it plays out. So when we think about that, I want to be free from something, well, then let Jesus heal you of that. I want to stop doing it. Well, let Jesus speak to that and then be free in Jesus' name, because then there'll be something different for tomorrow. Oh, I just love thinking like that. God is just wonderful in his word and the ability to give us to be able to think like that is just from the Lord. Let's just finish with a couple other thoughts here. What effect did that have on the owners? Then the owners of these pigs, 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of pigs. That's a lot of profit, all flushed down the toilet in the lake now. I don't know if they can go retrieve those poor animals. So let's just jump in here again, back to the story, verse 33. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including, I love that part, what happened to the demon-possessed man. They wanted to make sure they heard about the pigs, but also about the demon-possessed man. Think about these people. They knew this demon-possessed man. They knew them personally. Let's jump back to Mark, because Mark also shares a story. Mark's story of this story is quite a bit longer. There's more information. I love it. So Mark chapter 5, verse 3, we jump in. This man lived in the tombs, and no one can bind him anymore, not even with a chain. This guy was so strong. For he had often been chained hand and foot, like in a straitjacket, for crying out loud. And he tore the chains apart and broke through the irons with his feet. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This guy was crazy. He was so possessed and he would just be out of control. These people, everybody knew this guy. Or the two people, depends on which translation you're reading here. We can talk about that maybe in our sermon conversation about the difference there. But we can see here that those people knew these individuals personally. And Jesus shows up and he sets them free. No one else could do anything. Not even chains could hold them. But Jesus set them free. What a miracle! And when they come out, all they could see was the dead pig. Look, dead pigs. And there's two guys here completely healed. And they completely miss that part of it, don't they? We see in verse 34, the whole town, everybody went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, I wish it would say that they praised God in heaven. They glorified Jesus, but it said they pleaded with him, please leave, please get out of town, please leave this region. And see, they didn't bring Jesus their sick or they're injured, or those that had diseases to be healed because he had just done a miraculous sign. What they brought him was, get out of here because you're going to cause more destruction. When Jesus shows up in their minds, the trickery from the enemy again is to cause confusion and trick people into thinking that God is going to do something bad. That we think if we invite Jesus into our heart, we will end up losing something. Isn't that just the ultimate trick of the enemy? The demons had what they aimed for in killing the pigs. The people believed that Jesus was ultimately responsible for killing those pigs. So again, they believed what the devil allowed them was to trick them into believing that. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? One of the great many people believe and want to live with pigs versus living with Jesus. They're getting healed because they just want to live in their ways and they don't want to surrender. They don't want to give into or give over control to God. We wrap it up here in Psalm 107. And in Psalm 107, verse 13, we read, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. All praise God. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Whatever is going on in your life, you think about if the devil and the demons have the authority and the power to break chains and break iron, God has more power and more authority than that, and he will set you free. In our troubles and in our addictions, we cry out to God, and God will break the chains, and he will set us free. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. God, we thank you for the power and authority that is in your word. This is not my words, this is your word. So we thank you. We want to receive that today in our hearts. We want to receive freedom in Jesus' name. Jesus, as you come in, Holy Spirit, as you move in, we've got complete control and authority over every demonic spirit. And I thank you that you are setting us free. You're setting our church free in Jesus' name. Praise God.